From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. We're going to talk a little bit of Knicks basketball and around the NBA. A lot of things over the last games to be happy for the Knicks. If you're not a fan of the tanking methodology, a couple of good wins versus the Spurs, a good win versus the Magic. BleedBlueShow.com is our audio archive. Episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher apps. Also, BleedBlueShow.com, you can stream and download all episodes for the fans. Great wins Monday, great win Tuesday. The way they won both games was very impressive. And I know this is a lost season, and a lot of Knicks fans, just fans in general, people or the stakeholders, the people who listen and subscribe to this show, they feel the Knicks, the guys who sound off on the Knicks are negative. I mean, it's not really nice to be positive when you're pretty much in last in the entire NBA. Give where credit is due, where you won two games versus a Spurs team who's fighting, for a playoff spot by the seventh seed right now in the West Conference. Solid team nonetheless, like Popovich. Then you got a team like Orlando outside looking in, who was playing good basketball, actually came off a very good win in Toronto. Even though on the Toronto side of things, I don't think Kawhi Leonard played, but nonetheless, Orlando went up there and won the game. And they came to the Garden, they had controlling lead, and the Knicks bench got the back into the game on Tuesday. And very impressed by Mitchell Robinson, very impressed by Smith Jr., very impressed by Alonzo Gere, and all the other pieces is rounded too. Damian Dotson shot the ball well. I have my questions. Do you think he can keep this up for the rest of the season? So I'll ask stakeholders that. What about Henry Ellison, who's on the 10-day contract, immediate impact in the game on Tuesday? This is the Magic. I thought the team as a whole, these young core guys, they played well. They didn't quit. And got to give credit where credit is due. We'll talk around the NBA, and I got my thoughts on that. Let's get the stakeholders on and talk about what happened over the last couple of games with the Knicks. Even back to the loss on Friday to the Timberwolves as well, if we have to. Dominic, Bernardo DP, joining on the dialogue here on the Knickerbocker Avenue Forum, man. What's up, man? How's everything?
Good evening, Steve.
Good evening. How you doing, man? It's just me and you right
good,
now.
Good.
What's your thoughts? Did you see games, or what was your thoughts with the Knicks, man?
Yeah, I caught the end of last night's game because I was actually in Georgia last night.
Okay.
So, Steve, are they stopping the tank? Has the tank been disabled? Oh. Hey, you know what, Steve? Here's the funny thing before we get everybody off. So maybe they could ask me, Steve, I can't remember the last time we beat two playoff contending teams. I know San Antonio's in it right now. And I think when the Knicks beat the Magic last night, they may have only been a half game or a game out of the eighth seed. I can't remember the time the Knicks beat two. It's not playoff time yet, Steve, so these people are still competing for a spot. I can't remember the last time the Knicks did that. This is, I don't know. I enjoy it, Steve. I'm sorry. I know Knicks fans can't stand me, but I love it.
I enjoyed it too, man. I enjoyed both games for different reasons because the Knicks control the Spurs game. They were up 20-plus points for a good chunk of that third quarter. I know the Spurs try to make a comeback, but you got to give it to the Knicks with they were stopping the bleeding with key shots by Damian Dotson. He really helped stop the bleeding in a lot of some of the comeback versus the Spurs. But this Magic, it was almost the opposite because the starters didn't really do something in that game. Your thoughts on let's talk about Mitchell Robinson. What's your thoughts on Mitchell Robinson a couple of games? I mean, his impact defensively, everybody wants to him. No matter if you're Henry Ellison, Oscar Pierre, Dennis Smith Jr. I mean, what's your thoughts on the play of Mitchell Robinson?
Steve, I think I said this the last time I was on, that I had to apologize. I'm serious, because you remember back in the early part of the year, I was like, hey, this guy's become a thorn in our side. He's not giving us much. We're not getting points. You know, he's a project. I'm not afraid to admit I was wrong, Steve. I'm sorry. You know, I apologize to the guy. If we could send him this show, give him my apologies. Steve, this is amazing, but I did come around. This is why I keep saying, I don't think it's a bad deal to try to keep DeAndre Jordan for at least another season, at least one more season. You know, give him a vet minimum or, I mean, I don't know where his head is or his pockets are, Steve, but I don't know. This kid got more upside than I ever fathomed. And you know what? He hasn't played competitive ball, Steve. Maybe I jumped the gun. I apologize. I may have jumped the gun. The kid didn't play competitive ball. He gambled on himself. And guess what? So far, he's winning. Let me just say this, Steve. You take Dennis Smith Jr. I hate always bringing up Dennis Smith Jr., but it's a correlation. Take Dennis Smith Jr. and Mitchell Robinson. Dennis Smith Jr. basically missed his high school, senior year of high school because of his blown out leg. Goes to NC State for 1 year, you know, taking a gamble on that leg and how far it could take me in the draft. Became a lottery pick. You got two guys on the Knicks right now, Steve, that are just morally hungry. And they're out to prove a point. I hate to say that because they're men. But I think they really have a point to prove, and you need guys like that on your team, Steve. You need hungry players, and they're hungry. These young men are fighting for a check. Let's be honest. They're fighting for a check. And so far, and what did I say last time, Steve? Having him and Smith on the court at the same time, that's not a bad gig. I'm just saying. I'm not even going to go with the off the backboard when the game was over, you know. But it just gives the Knicks that, I hate to use the word pizzazz, but they got some kind of pizzazz now, Steve. I mean, you know, N1 mixtape, Showtime, all that. But they're giving you a little bit of something we haven't seen in a long time, Steve. I'm sorry.
I totally agree, dude. Let me be on the record with you as well. I will also apologize to Mitchell Robinson because I'm going to sit here and some fronter. I'm not going to be here and pretend like I wasn't the only one, like you, Dom, saying that, hey, man, he may need to go to the G League and work. Well, that was my whole argument was his offense. I didn't really have an issue with this, but nonetheless, I did say him to go to the G League. And what he has done, yeah, he needs an offensive game. Maybe in today's NBA, Dom, that I think you know, it's going to come in the sense of he's kind of like a Clint Capella-ish type of role right now with the Knicks. He's kind of long and as far as changing shots defensively. I mean, he's a joy to watch. I watch him from the fact that, and it's not just the last two games. It's just ever since DeAndre Jordan has been on the team. And I give credit to Baca for pointing that intangible out, because ever since DeAndre Jordan has been traded to the Knicks, has played well. Matter of fact, he's been more on the court lately because he hasn't been fouling out. It seemed like DeAndre Jordan came on here and all of a sudden Mitchell Robinson isn't drawing as many fouls. There's something going on with that chemistry in practice, that veteranship, and to the point we need to sign him. Now, I have my thoughts on that as long as it don't break the bank. Yeah, absolutely sign DeAndre Jordan, a veteran, to go with Mitchell Robinson and his quote-unquote development. Now he's even making free throws now. Remember, Mitchell Robinson could not shoot a free throw for his life earlier in the season. He could not shoot it at all. Now he's going to the line late in games and at least knocking down one of two, two of two at the charity stripe. But like I said, defensively, I mean, it's a joy to watch. I mean, we talk about his closeout. We talk about the Knicks' closeout defense in the league is just terrible all around. I'm willing to bet if I go back and look at the statistics, At one point, it was the worst in the league, and it probably still is bad, but he has helped improve it because he's been the type of defender chasing down wing threes, corner threes, helping change shots. Elite shooters or very good shooters in this league, like Fournier, we looked at the other night, or a guy like DeRozan, who's not really – he's pretty much a decent shooter. A lot of these teams, even go to the Sixers games, what's his name, Redick, J.J. Redick. A lot of these guys are money coming off curls. Mitchell Robinson is jumping at them, and he's changing their shots. I mean, it's just little things like that. Now he's getting a little bit better on the rebounding with his space, anticipating the basketball. He had a nice one-handed tip off of a shot late in the fourth quarter versus the Magic on Tuesday. I mean, it's been a great to watch just his energy. And he has a good pace with his energy. He's not putting himself out. He's playing smart. And I mean, he has to be the Knicks player, one of the best Knicks players of the week by far. And then to your point on Dennis Smith Jr., Dom, I know you've been a huge supporter of Dennis Smith Jr. He's the type of point guard the New York Knicks need in today's NBA. It is night and day. I mean, we already knew Mr. Live has spoken about this. Chandler has, and especially you, Dom, and Av. So today's NBA, you need a point guard you need somebody with a little flair, somebody who's going to be athletic. He brings that to the table. His jump shot, his way he attacks. His game is today's 21st century, where he's a nice guy, decent athlete. But it's probably not going to be no room for him on this roster. They don't, because, I mean, he had all the opportunity. And Dennis Smith Jr., with the limited time since being on this trade, I mean, it's clear that it's a better flow with the offense because he could do more things with his athleticism alone. And his passing has been spot on as well. Those two particular Knicks, Dom, has been – I mean, there's four of them, but we'll get through all of them. But I love the play of Dennis Jr. Even if he doesn't score 25, 30 points, I mean, he's getting you like 18, 19 assists. You know what I'm saying? Dominant.
Yeah.
So I echo the same sentiments, man, on Smith Jr.
You know what I'd like to ask, Steve, if there's anybody else on the line, and maybe they can help or answer the question too. Can we just rewind a little bit on some of the things we've been talking about this whole season with Fizdale and his rotations? Could we have possibly seen this come out of Mitchell Robinson sooner? We can't put the genie back in the bottle. I understand that. And we can't put the genie back in the bottle of combining him and DeAndre Jordan and Dennis Smith. But with the bizarre rotations that we have been talking about all year, that may have led to a lot of Mitchell Robinson's early fouls and getting in foul trouble because he knew he wasn't going to be on the court that long. And he's trying to prove himself. So I don't know, because I looked at this all season, Steve. I talked about it, the summer league and the tryouts every night. Maybe this kid could have developed sooner. I'm just saying, in case anybody else is listening and they'd like to, you know, follow up on that.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. I think it's where he is right now with his age. No college experience. Pretty much didn't play at all after Dom. I mean, defensively, he's been a stud. I mean, he's blocking shots with left hand, his right hand. He's changing shots. We said all that. I'm patient. I mean, we're Knicks fans. We haven't won in a long time anyway, so it's kind of like I'm patient with him if he is to develop an offensive game, some sort of post game. It may not even come, but that was the part of the development I was talking about. What other things with the last, I don't know, 20 games you would like to see Mitchell Robinson? You'd just like to see him continue to do what he's doing now?
Well, one, I don't know if it's you that's breaking up, Steve, or me, but can you hear me, Steve?
Yeah.
Okay, the one thing I'd like to see, let's just pump the brakes a minute, Steve, until this guy gets Mitchell Robinson. until he gets a little more offensive game. Let's be honest, Steve. DeAndre Jordan has made a living of setting screens, looping around, and getting the alley-oop. If he can get that part down now, and then the season's over, Steve. So we're already talking about what they're going to do in the offseason and what somebody could work on him with. Again, his first competitive ball in 2 years. There's things he can work on, but let's concentrate on some of the things he does good now. You know, and take that step and say, you know what? Again, Steve, I humbly apologize. But I think it's a combination of who's around him and him getting some more minutes. This has been a fiasco all season with a lot of Knick players. You know, a lot of Knick players fall in this boat. Dotson, Trier, Ntilikina, Moutier. You know, these guys really were never able to showcase their talent, Steve, because we never had a set rotation. We basically never had a starting five, you know. So everybody on the Knicks has to be, you know, I don't know what you look at going next year, Steve. That's one of the biggest issues I have. I don't know what we're looking at going into next season just with the guys we got on the team. We can hope and pray for a top 1, 2, 4 lottery pick, a free agent. But the guys that we have now, I mean, what did they prove in the limited time they played in a losing structure? What did they really prove for us to say, oh, yeah, Steve is good, we're going to bring him back next year? This is the biggest quagmire in my mind with the Knicks.
That is a good question. I probably would like to hold off on that question to the end of the regular season. I get a whole body of work from everybody. From a game-by-game pace since last week, the thing about why the Knicks are winning, let's give credit where credit is due. Damian Dotson is making his shots now. There was a stretch where he wasn't done. There was a stretch where Damian Dotson was not making his shots. This is an NBA Dominic, where players have got to make their shots. Got to make their perimeter pointers. And the majority of the season, the Knicks can't make the shots. The Knicks were the worst shooting team in the league at one point. Probably still are if I go back and look at the stats. But the main, a huge chunk, don't get me wrong, it's a huge team effort. I mean, you got bits and pieces, everybody's contributed. But Damian Dotson making the shots. I mean, he, even though he was hot in that game versus Minnesota, he lost that game. He kind of got away from them. The hot shooter kept him in it early on. Then you go back to the Spurs. He goes to the game versus the Magic. The ability to make timely three-pointers or timely jump shots. I don't know if he could keep it up, but he's in a nice groove right now. I want to give props to Damian Dotson even over the last week, Dom. That's another thing, adding John Jenkins to this team that went in Atlanta. He had, I think it was the second quarter, first and second quarter, because he's another guy who's a good shooter. If the Knicks added a couple of shooters, you even got Henry Ellison, a guy who was All-American, went to Marquette. Was with the Detroit Pistons. I don't even know what happened with them. With him, man, he was their first-round draft pick back in 16, but I don't remember why he got cut or didn't even look into it. But this 10-day contract, 6'11 guy who could put the ball on the floor and then make a perimeter jumper. Dom, if the Knicks could make a couple of jump shots, man, they probably could win a couple of games here and there by the end of this regular season. But what's your thoughts on Dotson, man?
Here's the funny thing, Steve, about Dotson. I just looked it up, so I wouldn't talk out of turn. Or San Antonio, he played 36 minutes, had 17 shots, had 27 points. The next game, he only played 16 minutes. This is what I mean, Steve. I don't mean to beat this horse to death, but He can shoot. I have doubts on him sometimes because I think we've seen enough of Dotson where he's up, down, and that's understandable. But if you're the coach, and I hate to keep harping on the coach, Steve, because we're not privy to a lot of stuff, but if you're the coach and you see his productivity increases with his minutes, and I'll give you a great example. everybody that's on the Nil Aquino bandwagon, and no knock on Nil Aquino. I've given the statistics all year, Steve. He's the opposite of Dotson. He plays more minutes and is less productive. Dotson plays more minutes and is more productive. That's what I always thought that's what was it about, Steve. If you got a hot hand, if you're looking at all these analytics that everybody looks at, if this guy's playing 30 minutes a night and he's giving you on a consistent basis, let's just say 16, 17 points a night, Steve, and he's shooting 9 for 15, 9 for 17, 10 for 22, whatever, you're seeing a consistency elevate with the minutes with him on the court. To me, it's not brain surgery, Steve, because, again, I'm not an analytics guy, to be quite honest. I hate numbers. I just look at sheer talent and what the guy can do when he's on the court. And when you look at Dotson, look at the numbers, Steve. I don't make the numbers up. I happen to bring them up. I don't make them up. Look at the games on an average when he plays over X amount of minutes, like a 22-minute span. Look at his shooting. Look at his production. Then when he's playing 14 to 16 minutes, he's shooting 3 for 8, 2 for 9. It's something, I don't know what it is, Steve, but to me, if I was the coach, and you know what? We got rid of Tim Hardaway, who was our outside shooter. You would think you got rid of Tim Hardaway Jr. to see what you got in a Dotson, in a Trier, you know, who's going to become that perimeter presence. But you keep doing the same thing you've been doing since summer league. Now, some people will say, well, the tank is in full mode. Okay, let's go with that, Steve. Let's go with the tank is in full mode. But then let's go back to the original premise of this development stuff all year. If you see a guy developing when you give him more minutes, that should be a thumbs up. Seriously, that should be a thumbs up if you're the coach. Oh, wow, I tapped into something. Okay, we're tanking. Dotson's scoring 22 or 24 points every three or four games. That's not going to stop us from tanking. But we're seeing what we got. And that's what puzzled me the most, Steve. When they got rid of Lee, they got rid of Hardaway, they got rid of their perimeter shooters and kept Dotson. So I thought to showcase and see what he could do with more minutes, because now, I mean, Lee wasn't getting many minutes, but now you're giving no minutes to Hardaway because he's gone. So what was the gist of all this, Steve? If this kid ain't playing average 28 minutes a night, because think about it, Steve, unless I'm missing something, who's a better perimeter shooter on the Knicks right now than Dotson? And I'm not a big Dotson fan, Steve. I already said that. We've seen enough of him. He's up and down. But then after I said that, I started looking at his numbers. And his ups are up when his numbers are up, like minutes. And his downs are down when his minutes go down, because he's coming in knowing he's on a short leash. I'm going to try to get some shots off because I don't know when I'm going to come out the game. Somebody may need me down the road, whether it's the Knicks or not. But if you look at the sheer numbers, Steve, and I just don't get it. Like I said, I don't mean to be the dead horse. But you got rid of Hardaway. So we should be showcasing these young guys that have a perimeter shot. And we don't have many of them, Steve. Let's just be honest. Why? Why is this still going on? Understanding the tank. I don't believe in it. I don't like it. But you can't tell me we're tanking, Steve, and then say we're tanking, but we're still trying to develop what we might have going down in the future. I can't understand both, Steve. I'm not that smart. I'm being honest. I ain't that smart.
You know, out of the cards, I would say this. We may disagree. I Josh Jenkins is the better shooter, honestly, than Damian Dotson. But I think Damian Dotson has more of a green light, if that makes sense. So Damian Dotson has more opportunity to showcase. He has more minutes. But if you say shooter, I think Jenkins is the better shooter than Damian Dotson. the guard. And you made a great point about Tim Hardaway Jr. I mean, a lot of the faults of the offense running through him as the number one option, Hardaway used to just come down and just jack him up, just throw him up out of nowhere, just wasting possessions. There's better efficient possessions now since he's gone. Because think about it like this, well, Dom, you already know. I mean, this is for the audience. Think about it. I mean, Hardaway was on this team. He didn't really – we were running with Daniel Aquino from the starting thing. Starters up. He didn't really have anybody who could get to the lane and create more opportunities for either drive the dish, alley-oops, kick it out. So, you know, you don't have that with Daniel Aquino and Hardaway when you had those guys in the lineup. You take out Daniel Aquino, you put him on the bench, and you put, you know, Hardaway on the, you know, traded. Now you have a guy like Daniel Jr., or even Emmanuel Mudiay, who's big enough, who's stepping into the lane and shooting off one leg, easy shots. The shot selection is a lot easier. But to answer the question, I think David Gasser, as far as the most minutes, he probably is the best shooter we have. But if I were to say almost pound for pound, I would say Jenkins is the best shooter. I think he's the best shooter on the team. But he just doesn't get the minutes. I think the reason why he didn't get the minutes last night, last night versus the Magic, because the starters as a whole didn't play well. The bench got the Knicks back into the game. The bench second quarter and third, or especially in the fourth quarter, the bench did their job. It was a complete team effort with the bench. And that's why we didn't see a lot of the starters. They just didn't match up to Orlando. What are your thoughts as far as what about Trier? What are your thoughts on Trier? I thought Trier has played excellent. He had went through the slump and kind of picked it up. He did well versus the Spurs. He has nice drives versus the Magic on Tuesday. What's your thoughts on Trier?
He's another one, Steve. You know, when I hate to do this, but when you're talking, because, you know, I'm getting older, my memory ain't that great. So I actually go to the stats because there's something I might have missed during the game. But Trier's another one, Steve. You know, you can't keep doing this. The thing I like about Trier, as opposed to Dotson, it's almost like the Dennis Smith versus Frank Ntilikina. Trier can not only shoot, not saying he's a great shooter, Steve. Don't mess it up. He can shoot, but he's not afraid to go to the hoop, where Dotson sort of settles for the outside shot. Okay, that may be his thing. You know, no knock. Everybody has a lane. But that's what I like about Dotson. The only thing that Trier could probably improve on, Steve, because he goes to the basket if he learns how to dish while he's going to the basket. And I understand this comes with age, maturity, because he gets to the basket, Steve. He's not afraid to go to the basket. This is what some of us have been saying for so long. The lack of aggression, some of the pieces we had, or the combination of pieces. You just brought up Mudiay. Mudiay and Smith may not be Steph Curry-type shooter, but they're not afraid to go to the basket, Steve, and that opens things up for you, for a lob, for a dish out to somebody in the corner. This is how basketball is being played today, Steve. I mean, unless I'm missing something. Trier, to me, because I kind of like him, because I remember earlier in the year when he had his good games, I was like, you know what, this may spark a fire under Hardaway's fanny because this kid may take his job. And then all of a sudden, you fast forward a few months, Steve, and I'm not saying that's the reason they traded him, but now Hardaway is gone. This is what, again, Steve, this is what confuses me. You got rid of A. You was lucky to get out of his contract. You got rid of him, the guy that you say, Steve, and you are absolutely correct. He will shoot it. He will chuck it. It was like he thought he was the only one on the team that could score. Okay, we got rid of that. We got rid of that. So now we got Trier and Dotson, the guys that I thought would have been the guys to step up if he wasn't there, injury, but he's gone. So now we got these guys doing what we wanted to see them do when Hardaway was gone. But the confusion of minutes, like you said, Steve, the kid Jennings, what's his name? Not Jennings. Is it Jennings? The one we just got, you said, was the best shooter.
Oh, Jennings, John, right? Jenkins. John Jenkins.
Jenkins, excuse me. Jenkins, I'm sorry. The only thing about him, Steve, is, again, it's a small sample size. I mean, I'm a firm believer, Steve. I say it all the time about Buddy Hield. A shooter can shoot. He just needs touches. A shooter can shoot. So if this guy can get some minutes and show us he can shoot again, Steve, I hate to go off the Knicks, but Buddy Hield, who I talk about all the time, look what he's doing now. Given the minutes, given the opportunity, he's not doing – Steve, you watch college basketball. You watched him in college. We talked about this.
Right,
is he not doing what he did in college in the NBA?
Mm-hmm.
He can shoot. He can shoot, Steve. You can't teach that. You could improve on somebody shooting, but guys like Buddy Hield and shooters can shoot. Now, if this kid can shoot, Steve, again, one eye open, one eye closed. This season's almost over. Where's he going to be next year? But Trier, I like because he does more than one thing. And you know another thing about him, Steve? He's always hustling. You got to give him at least an A because he's always hustling. You know, it's not like he's just out there looking for a shot. He hustles. He hustles back on defense. He tries to get in guys' faces. You got to like his energy. And I tell you what, Steve, I go back to it. It seems like the energy rose when they got Smith and Jordan. It was something about whether it's the pizzazz, the movement, this young kid not afraid to go to the hoop, opening up the floor for other guys. It seemed like the movement on the Knicks improved so drastically. I mean, look at his numbers, Steve. Look at the numbers Steve Smith has put up on an average during his tenure with the Knicks so far. He's probably averaging 17, 16, 6 assists, probably 4 or 5 rebounds. He just brought up an energy level with his play, DeAndre Jordan's mindset, his veteran leadership. Maybe it's just me, Steve. I don't know. I'm not just talking about Dennis Smith Jr. I'm saying him and DeAndre Jordan. When they came to the Knicks, the energy level, even when they lost, Steve,
right,
the energy level just happened to rise. Coincidence? Okay, maybe.
No, you're absolutely correct, dude. I mean, they're rubbing off on everybody. The energy, it's a domino effect. His athleticism is creating shots for everybody. It's creating easier shots for Mitchell Robinson and getting him involved. I mean, I don't care what the NBA says as far as you need threes and wins. Some teams believe it. I need to jack up 40 threes a night just to have a chance. This thing is no simpler than I'm all about getting the easiest shot possible. If the easiest shot is an open three, you take it. Absolutely. But, hey, if you could get to the lane, you could still set up late, easy dunk. I'll still take that over any three-pointer at the end of the day. You take the high-percentage field goal. I mean, and that's what the Knicks are getting in these games. This is good teams. This is a Greg Popovich team that they beat. I thought the Spurs kind of slept on the Knicks almost in the
season. Yeah.
I thought they slept on them. I think these young boys are hustling. Oh, that's another thing about Trier I like about him, too. Especially late in the game. He is not afraid to go to that free throw line. And you know there's a lot of – you already know. There's a lot of pressure into that free throw line. It's like a close game, under 2 minutes, or under a minute, and you got to knock down two big free throws. And at his age, he wants that responsibility. He embraces it, and he's a good free throw shooter too. So, got to give him credit where credit is due, man. Yo, let's get around the NBA real quick. If you want to talk Knicks, that's cool. Yo, there was some good games this past week. Is there anything on the NBA tip that was on your mind? I thought Net game versus the Hornets. That was the game Chris was actually at in Charlotte, North Carolina. That was an excellent game, the Nets game versus the Hornets. I don't know if you saw that last Saturday night. The Thunder game yesterday was very good. And then the Trailblazers, I know they're playing the Celtics right now as we do this episode, but the Trailblazers have amazed me. They went to Philadelphia and won convincingly. I think their bench is even deeper now with Rodney Hood and is cancer. You know, we already know we're familiar with cancer. But what about any other team around the league? We see the Raptors destroy the Celtics. Anything around the league? I know we're both huge Kings. I know they kind of stumbled versus Minnesota the other night. What about the other teams, man? What's on your mind with these other squads?
Here's the funny thing, Steve, especially with the Eastern Conference, and it always annoys me, because if the Knicks would have just competed, had a system in place, but Detroit, I'm not a Detroit guy, but they done inched their way into the playoffs. You know, this is again, just competing. Sacramento's only a game. Steve, as much as Sacramento has stumbled up and down, they're still in the hunt. If they stay 6-4 over 10 games, 6-4, 7-3, it's going to be interesting. But nothing makes me happier than watching the Lakers and the Celtics stumble. I have a little more faith in the Celtics because I firmly believe they have some of the best talent on one team in the Eastern Conference. Go young, but nothing makes me happier than this fiasco going on in L.A. How many times have we seen this story, Steve, with this LeBron James guy? You know, you want this, you want that. He's finally in a position, Steve, where he isn't getting what he wants. He went to Miami knowing they was getting Bosh and Wade coming back. He goes to Cleveland where they had Kyrie and they're going to flip-flop and get Love. Now you're stuck. Now you're stuck with a whole bunch of young players, Steve, who, if we remember correctly, Steve, because me and you watch basketball and we read about it, the Lakers did a pretty good job with that young talent, as much as it pains me to say this. They did, if you go back, Steve, they did a pretty good job last year at the end of that season with that young talent and had a, let's say from where they started to where they ended, Steve, didn't make the playoffs, had a losing record, but they had a respectable record considering where they started from, what they were dealing with, and where they ended. So, in other words, you saw progression. All of a sudden, here comes LeBron James, and he don't have all these major pieces. But he had pieces that were doing good at the end of last year. Now, again, it's everybody's fault but LeBron's. I love it, Steve. In my heart of hearts, Steve, I love it because nothing would make me happier than the Lakers not making the playoffs. I don't care what they say they're going to do next year. Here's the funny thing, Steve. If the Lakers don't make the playoffs, and even though they're not a lottery team, they're in the same boat we're in next year, Steve. What are you going to get? All of this ifs and ands now, if we get this one, if this guy comes. Well, you know what, Steve? Every team could say that. Every team, because we're going to be saying it in a couple of months. And they'll be in the same boat as us, Steve, without a top five pick. And guess what, Steve? We've seen it. Paul George is going to go to the Lakers. What happened? He stood in Oklahoma City. So that was a shot right there. I'm telling you, Steve, throughout the NBA, I still love what the Nuggets are doing. All the good I've seen so far this year and the competitiveness and especially teams in the East, you know, vying for them. Nothing, Steve, makes me happier to see this fiasco in L.A. Because guess what? It falls on Magic. It falls on LeBron. You thought you was going to come to L.A. They was going to go out and strong arm players to come play with the Lakers, and it blew up. It blew up. So you're in the same boat as us. We may have a worse record, but you're in the same boat as us. I don't want to hear nothing else about the Lakers. Nothing. I swear to God, Steve, nothing would make me happier. I could care if the Knicks won every game and didn't get a top five lottery pick. But nothing would make me happier than the Lakers not making the playoffs. And going into next season with, we're going to get Kawhi, we're going to get Anthony Davis, we're going to get Wilt Chamberlain. You're in the same boat as us, Steve. Think about it. They're hoping and wishing on what they're getting. And so far it hasn't worked out. And guess what? I got to admit, Steve, I always liked Oklahoma City because I'm a Westbrook guy. But I love seeing what Oklahoma City does because they're not in a major market. Somehow they was able to extend, give Westbrook all the money in Oklahoma, convince Paul George to stay. This is what the NBA needs, Steve. I'm serious. This is what the NBA needs. And I think a lot of players might be saying, going to the Lakers, you got Showtime surfing. But do they really want that drama where they could still be competitive on another team, get the same amount of money, Steve? Let's be honest. They're going to get their contracts. But
right.
Just not deal with that drama. I love it, Steve. I love it to the – the only thing that will make me happy, Steve, is if the Lakers don't make the playoffs and the Kings do. Oh.
They will have to meet San Antonio. Who's seven right now? I'm not exactly sure.
Hold on. I'll find it. I just had it.
I know San Antonio's up there. The Clippers. I think it's the Clippers that you have the team.
Yeah.
So those are the two
one
teams.
Game, they're one game behind San Antonio, two behind the Clippers.
Right.
And only three behind Utah.
And that, there's some good games this Friday. I think Utah plays, I believe it's Portland this weekend or this Friday. It's been some good games. I want to go back to last Saturday's game. I don't know if you saw it. The Rockets went to Golden State, and they beat the Warriors without James Harden. It's funny because right before that game, I said, there's no way the Rockets have a chance to beat the Warriors in the eyes. I said that right before the game. And the next thing you know, the Rockets went up, 14-0 in that game, 15-0. It was something crazy like that. Even with that said, though, Doc, I still think the Rockets could beat the Warriors when it comes down to it. But it was just interesting to see, though, to pull it off. Your points as well as far as Denver. I watched that Denver Oklahoma City game was very good in the fourth quarter on Tuesday night. Very good game, man. Denver, they're not a good road team. They're one of those teams. They're young. They got so many guards that could score. Jamal Murray. They got Will Barton, Gary Harris, and now Isaiah Thomas. Little Isaiah Thomas is back in the mix. He's getting like 4 or 5 3-pointers a game now. He was monstrous against Oklahoma City. I said, damn, these guys got mad guards, a whole bunch of guards. And we already know Jokic, he's playing very, very well. I thought them and Portland are very – it's a nice balance in the West, man. I really like the quality of basketball. Well, at both conferences in particular, but Denver, I would like to see how this is going to go because they're not – a good road team, and I want to see how they're going to fare. If they, let's say they're sitting at two, and number seven right now is what the Clippers. I think they can get past the Clippers, but that next round would be either Portland or, assuming everything is what it is right now, Portland and Houston. That, oh my goodness, man! I think they can clip off the Nuggets, man. The Blazers to me also, Dom. Nobody talks about them a lot either. I think they're deep, man. I mean. Them adding Cantor and going behind Nurkic as the second center, and Rodney Hood is another piece off the bench guy. And then they got all these other guys that surrounding McCollum and Damian Lillard. They got a nice team, Dom. I really like that team, dude. And then they went into Philadelphia and gave it to the Sixers too. This is a good – the league is interesting right now, man, with this balance, man. And to your point, all this can happen with LeBron sitting out of the playoffs. So you got a great point.
here's the funny thing about Denver, Steve. Right. Every week we come on the line and we say something about Denver. And then when I look at the stand, and they're still 7-3 in their last 10 games. Every week we talk about them, they still went 10 games with being 7-3. It's amazing, Steve, what they're doing. Here's the funny thing about the Blazers. You look at, like you said, you look at their roster and just take a guy who we know during the last messed up signing big contracts, Evan Turner got his money. But you know what, Steve? He's still that little glue guy. He's that guy that does the little things really well. And that's been his lane for quite some time. Say what you want about him. Okay, he got the big money he shouldn't have got. But you know what? He's still the Evan Turner that came into the league with the Sixers. He's still that same guy. Steve, you can't blame him for the money he got. I mean, that's not on him. Somebody offered him the money. But he's still that glue guy. And you're right. Now you add Cantor to that mix. And just like I said with the Knicks, even if Cantor comes in and gets you 10-6, probably three of them rebounds are going to be offensive rebounds. And you're giving a team like Portland more shots. Mm. I don't know, Steve. I'm not a big Western Conference guy, but that's going to be weird. Because guess what? If the season ended today, Oklahoma City would be the third seed. So they would play the Utah. So I know Portland wants to catch Oklahoma City, because if they don't, Portland plays Houston. And I don't know, Steve. I don't have a lot of faith in Houston. I don't have a lot of faith in the Rockets, Steve. I'm going to be honest.
Right. I agree with that. I could agree with that. Let me ask you this.
I don't want to hear that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Let me ask you this. You said that 3-6 matchup, impossible. You said it could be Oklahoma City and Utah. That would be the second year in a row we'll play each other in the playoffs. Do you think Oklahoma City will finally get over this? And let's say they are matched up. They get past Utah if this was the matchup. Because remember, Utah went through Oklahoma City last year. Through them. Destroyed them.
Yeah,
nobody saw that. Man. Anything?
But the difference with Oklahoma City, the difference this year, Steve, if I'm not mistaken, I don't want to look it up, Oklahoma City's the best defensive team in the league this year. And that's a big difference, because if you're the best defensive team, Steve, and you still got two guys like Westbrook and George that could take over a game down the stretch while you're still playing lockdown D. Mm. Steve, I'm going to say it now. I got a funny feeling Oklahoma City's going to the conference finals.
That's
because of their defense. Because of their defense, Steve. And again, when you have defense like that, that's going to keep you in the game. And you got two guys that can close out a game. Even though Westbrook is not shooting that well this year, he can control a game without shooting. You know, he's still a great assist man. And you got a guy like George, who, let's be honest, Steve, a lot of us wasn't that high on George because he didn't show up for the big games. And we could say the same thing about Harden. You know, let's be honest. We could say the same thing about James Harden. But there's something fishy going on in Oklahoma City, Steve. They play defense, and they're not afraid to play defense. And I always liked that kid. And I thought when the Rockets got Melo, it was going to stymie that kid Ferguson, because I thought he would lose minutes. And guess what? Rockets let Melo go. The first Oklahoma, I mean, when he was on Oklahoma City, I thought Melo was going to stymie him. They got rid of him. They still got Ferguson, Steve, and he's another one. He's that little glue guy who can jump out the gym, good in the open floor. So they sort of won that. They won that, Steve. I'll be honest. I know a lot of Melo fans might put a hit out on me, but when you consider how Ferguson's growth has been, that was a great move. That was a great move. I just don't have faith in the Rockets, Steve. I'm sorry.
I agree with you.
That ain't going to work.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. Any final thoughts from you, Dom? Good episode, man, Knicks and around the NBA, man. It's been some good basketball. College and the NBA, man. Your final thought?
I hope the Knicks win the remainder of their game. I want to see people jump. I want to see people jumping off of buildings in the next 26, 25 days. But other than that, Steve, you know what? I'm normally not that interested in the NBA this time of year, because the Knicks are never interesting this time of year. But we got some fun basketball to watch, Steve. You know, we really do. There's teams that are vying for playoff spots. And I know what people say. You're going to be the eighth seed and get knocked out. Hey, you know what? It's something to shoot for. You got teams like Sacramento, Orlando, Charlotte. And they're not going to go far in the playoffs, Steve. We know that. But I think that should still be your goal going into the season. Try to make the playoffs, build on something for next year. So my final thoughts is that, and boy, please don't let the Lakers make the playoffs, Steve. Oh,
not
right now, they're three games behind right now. But as always, Steve, I thank you, buddy.
Yeah, man. Donato DP, man, Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum of the Homestand episode. iTunes Podcast for public tuning and Stitcherettes, man. We'll be back next Wednesday. More basketball and more NBA and more around the league in our squad. Sangre Azul.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop.